P.S. I Love Hoffman is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
And now, the end is near, and so I face our final episode.
Well, not actually our final episode,
Kyle. No, it's not, but it's our final film
episode. Our final film review. Actually, I'm glad you bring that up, because after this episode, when we close it here, we have a nice little thing we're going to share, some surprising, exciting things. But we'll go into that a little more. Kyle, how do you feel that this
just
is
a little hungry? About the podcast. I thought,
is that a pun for like the Hunger Games?
Oh, that was way too clever for me. I'm feeling
a little
like,
hungry for some games.
Yes. This is crazy. This was something that, I mean, has been fun for majority of the time. I always love talking. I loved talking all these movies with you, and there was some movies that I'd never seen that I really ended up enjoying. Some could, you know, but I feel like I am almost now like I got a degree in Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, like yeah. I said, I mean, and we issue this challenge now officially. I don't think anyone else besides his friends and family probably have seen the entire Philip Seymour Hoffman catalog. That's mainly because we saw Schuller.
Have seen it and then really like there might, you know, but seen it, but also we dived into it.
Yeah, took really head first in. Yeah. So let's, without further ado, let's jump into this one.
Iggy Pop! Amen! Let it rock!
I'm a fucking idiot.
Red meat, we crave sustenance.
I'm an artist.
Hello, my name is Jim Cody.
Why don't you have some fun?
Fun!
Tommy,
it's a pain thing.
Whoever she is, I'm gonna find her and I'm gonna hurt her.
I've spent the past 3 years learning Spanish!
I'm always home, I'm uncool.
This is a process of dehypnotization.
Shut up!
Hey, Hoff fans. Welcome to this week's episode of the P.S. I Love Hoffman podcast, our love letter to the remarkable career of the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. I'm Brian Rodriguez.
And I'm Kyle Reinfried.
We're always home, we're always uncool, and we're always ready to talk great movies.
I'm just realizing,
yes,
that just throughout this podcast, we could have like recorded one really good version of that, and then like
that's lazy though. That's lazy. I like to be present. I like to
you
roll
like
in and
in,
out of it.
Like,
yeah, sometimes we've like flavored it a little.
Like our yeah, that's true.
And you know, like you know, not that the people listening care, but like the minutia of things. My voice or your voice sounds different on the day, depending.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, wow, what kind of mood was I in that day? Like, I just sound really, like I'm doing a Lancaster dot of like, really, 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 like just tired.
But hey, but you know what? We're ready to go. As we keep saying, our last film, our last dive into a film, because this is the last film in this catalog. Hunger Games, Mockingjay, Part 2.
And it feels just like the last one. This really feels like, you know, a movie that it feels like the third act just like stretched out, or like late second act into third act
for
just
sure
stretched out.
And before we dive into it though, again, want to remind you this is not our last episode ever. We have some really, really exciting news that we'll share with at the end of this episode.
Two more official episodes.
Two more, possibly three more. Something we have to discuss. So we'll go over the calendar with you at the end. But you want to listen to this episode, and you definitely want to listen to the end, because we have, again, some, I mean, you agree, right? Some exciting, exciting news.
Yes. And also, if you saw the post, then most likely it's written in there somewhere as well.
For sure, but, you know, not everyone is a Facebook follower.
Oh, yeah. Follow us on Facebook. It's not
yes
too late.
Follow us on Facebook. You'll get that information there. But listen for the tease, because, again, some very exciting news today. But Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2. Yeah, I'll agree with you there, Kyle. I actually liked this one better than Mockingjay Part 1.
Yeah, because there was, like, stuff going on.
I don't necessarily say this is a stretched out third act. I think you could take. This is how I would do it. I would have just gone for, and this is, I know this is like the opposite of the studio's thinking, because this would cost more money and probably make less in the end. But I would have gone for one like 3-hour movie. You know.
Yeah.
The series earned it enough in terms of two very well made and also like movies that did well, that 1 3-hour conclusion would have been better than 2 2-hour conclusions.
Yeah.
Because the first one, that could have fit into a first act for me of an hour.
Yeah.
You know? And this one could have been cut down a little. But I think if we were going to combine these two movies, I think you get more of this one in that movie.
I think it just would have felt, but like, maybe one day if I rewatch them, I'll watch them right in a row, because this picks up right where the
And I was thinking like that might be better, but I still feel that would be a 4-hour movie, and I think that would be
Then that would just be tiring.
Yeah, that's too tiring. The part one is tiring. You know, it is. There's information you need there, but totally can be condensed. Part one.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Part two is more like, and look, it wasn't fantastic. I think in the series, and now we've seen, you've seen all four. I can't remember if you saw the first one.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think to me, my favorite is Catching Fire. But I guess this one's my third favorite. I would rank them in my enjoyment: Catching Fire,
OG.
Yeah, the Hunger Games. Do they have a name?
No.
Just the Hunger Games?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, despite not having Philip Seymour Hoffman, I would say is the second best. This one would be the third, and Part One, Mockingjay, I think is the worst of them. But yeah, I mean, it sucks, because I think they ruined what could have been a good conclusion by splitting these films. More importantly, though, our guy Philip Seymour Hoffman, we definitely wanted to see this film because we heard a lot of rumors and a lot of things about this film.
Yes.
He was actually, from reading a lot, he actually filmed most of his scenes even for this film.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he didn't film all of his scenes, so you don't really get a lot of him.
No, but there's the one big scene that it's transferred, and we'll play that clip later. Woody Harrelson reading the letter.
Yeah, and a little bit of what Effie says supposedly was going to be his, too.
Okay. And then, but we also, and we can now confirm, there was a CGI.
There was not. That is not CGI.
That's not CGI?
Nope, Kyle. Nope. I knew you were going to say that. Like, you knew that one thing? That's a clip they used from part one. I deep dive and I found that out. The director decided at the last minute.
Would they like cut him out of like a background and put?
No. He was just viewing from a previous shot scene or something like that.
Because he looks different.
It's not. The director confirmed that there is zero CGI in any of the films.
Oh.
They developed.
We cannot confirm. We can confirm that he was. We can confirm. Mother confirmed.
Yeah, that's just a rumor. They developed it, and when he saw it, he said, like, and you can see a lot of interviews with him, and he says it. He's like, it didn't feel right to me.
Yeah.
We're going to handle this differently.
Good.
Because, what's it called? Fast and Furious came out the same year.
Yeah.
And they used Les was filmed. Brothers. Yeah, Les was filmed in that film, you know, to be fair. But they used CGI, they used doubles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But in this, they just used scene transfers.
Oh.
So that apparent, I know, that's what I was thinking too, but apparently that is not CGI. I'm not exactly sure what they did. I know it was clips from previous stuff.
All right.
I'm sure there's like CGI around him.
I'm not, I don't care about that.
No, but like, it's not a CGI face.
It looked very, it didn't, yeah, he looked...
I think there it's like guilty of seeing what we want to see kind of thing. Like we're looking for the CGI.
I guess it's so, but he's not giving the reaction I'm expecting.
Yeah, no, and maybe that's
because that's also because he's then just like, then that's taken from, I guess, Catching Fire when he's like the game master and he's just watching a screen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and like not much is going on the screen.
That could be it, yeah.
Because it just feels very plastic to me.
That could be it, just because he's not properly reacting.
All right, well, there you go.
But so just to confirm, CGI Hoffman actually does not exist. I feel like we've been kind of teasing that throughout the series, that we would see a CGI version. But no, there is no, apparently no CGI Hoffman.
All right.
The jury still could be out. Maybe that was a CGI Hoffman, but
I mean, the director's saying it isn't, so that's pretty.
Maybe trying to cover his ass. I don't know. Think so. But yeah, so unfortunately, we don't get a lot of Hoffman. But for this is official, for the very last time, Kyle. Please give us your summary.
I'm winging it. Last one, I'm winging it.
And for the first one, you'll be winging it.
All right. Mockingjay Part 2. So it's spelled P-A-N-E-M.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like they're saying Pan Am.
Sometimes they do say Pan Am.
It's like the Han Han thing.
Julianne Moore says Pan Am.
Pan Am.
Yeah.
Pan Am.
I think it's one of these. Yeah, they just don't correct it on set. But
so war is in full escalation in the continent of Pan Am. And, well, like we said, Katniss is right where we left her off in the last one, and it feels like it's going to play a big role, but she's been choked by PETA and can't talk, and then she gets her voice back. I thought it was going to play like into this whole, she can't do propaganda. But anyway, Katniss decides that she is just going to go on this solo mission and go kill Snow, and then Gale's going to help her, and then she ends up going on this whole team mission, and pretty much, as Finnick says, like, welcome to the 76th Hunger Games. It doesn't feel like it, but the Game Masters have created all these new booby traps, and it's just pretty much from that point, just like a mission to get to the Capitol.
Specifically to Snow.
Yeah, to Snow.
And it is our conclusion of the series.
Yes, it is.
And a conclusion of our series. Somewhat.
Somewhat.
Yes. Our anthology, at least. Okay, so I guess we kind of got into it, but what did you think of this film?
It was entertaining. I wouldn't say necessarily that I liked it, but it was entertaining, and the fact that there was weird mutant things that we've never seen before, like go in the sewers.
Okay, so I looked that up. Yeah, there was weird mutant things, but technically, because I'm like, what the hell? This doesn't feel like that kind of.
Well, there
film.
Was the weird things in like the.
Yeah, so they have that. Even the Mockingjay is a mutated animal.
Yeah.
Because it was. Well, the Mockingjay, I don't know if we went over this or maybe Kara did, I can't remember. But the Mockingjay is half a mutated animal. There are mockingbirds, which actually exist on Earth. And that, like, the government mutated mockingbirds to make Jabberjays, which are the bird. They listen to what people say and then they repeat it. And so they could. That was, like, a primitive way or whatever of, like, spying on people. But the Jabberjay mated with mockingbirds, and they made the Mockingjay, which can repeat, like, songs and stuff. But it's a symbol of rebellion because it shouldn't exist in their world, and yet it does.
Did you think that this movie at one point was going to go full Cats musical?
Oh, yeah, no, we'll get into that, too. But let's start at the beginning, because that we see Hoffman, what, like 30 seconds in?
Yeah.
Which, great.
Great.
It used to be an issue for us not seeing him at all.
Yeah.
But 30 seconds in, and... well, let's play the clip, and then we'll talk about it.
I want to talk to him.
He needs time. But, we're trying something new today. He's been calmer with the doctors, but they're strangers to him. So, we're going to test his response on someone he remembers from home. Somebody trusts.
So yeah, like I said in my winging it summary, we pick up where Katniss has no voice. She wants to go see PETA, and at this point, you know, she's been in the room for feels like, you know, a couple days or something like, or maybe a little longer. They don't really say, but they've been running tests on PETA, and then they're gonna bring Prim in there as someone recognizable to him, and just help this brainwash PETA, like the. The District 13 isn't giving up on him. You know, they want to turn him. And we eventually even learn that Coin liked PETA over Katniss.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's obvious why to me. And they kind of allude to it. Like, Katniss is a bit of a wild card, and Peeta is, like, very controllable.
Yeah. Clearly.
Yeah, so I, after this, did this movie feel like the most... besides, obviously, like, pretty teenagers, like, fighting one another, and, like, especially the first movie, this really felt very young adult out of, like, a lot of them. Like, the dialogue, like, because after this, it's, you know, there's that one line that Gale says to Katniss, it's like kissing a drunk person, it doesn't count. Like, there's these, like, lines and these moments.
Yeah,
in this
I wrote that one down, too. My guess for that is just because they're drawing these two films out more, is that they just drew more from the book in terms of dialogue. And then I thought that line was crappy.
Yeah.
But I think that's a line that fits really well in a young adult book.
Yeah.
Like, so, you're saying, you know? Like, I don't find that as crappy on paper as I do when it's delivered, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes. With Plutarch, we really only get him in the beginning of this film before Katniss goes on her mission. And she goes at to District 2, and I got excited because Gwendolyn Christie is there.
Yeah, Gwendolyn Christie, that's great.
But then I'm like, oh, cool, she's gonna, like, fight because this could be badass, and then nothing happens.
No. Did you see the trivia that she also replaced
somebody?
Who knows, you know? Yeah. But yeah, Gwendolyn Christie, can't wait for Game of Thrones to return, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, she goes out there with, I mean, BT goes, Gale, Hey, Mitch. Marshall Boggs, Marshall Lee's character. Yeah.
I mean, should we go over the cast? Because I feel like we don't have to, because it's the same cast.
It's the same as the last film. Time.
Guys, listen to last week's.
There's kind of new people introduced to, like, this team, but then they get, like, killed, like, pretty, like, you
know
what I'm
saying? Like, those twins.
There's those twins. They're the first ones to bite the dust. Boggs, but poor Marshall Ali.
Yeah, Boggs.
But
I mean, we get more of Joanna Mason in this one.
But, like, that was the whole thing. She was, remember, I was talking with Kara, like, there were so many young actresses that wanted that role. I don't get it.
I mean, she is an interesting character and stuff.
Yeah.
I think she gets weird at times. She's probably more influential in the book. That's my guess.
Okay.
Her Catching Fire was her best film.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she wasn't in the last one, really.
Just, like, briefly.
Yeah. But that's commitment, shaving your head, and so good work.
So this whole time, by the way, I was trying to figure out where I knew Jenna Malone from. And I'm like, I know this girl's face, and I've seen her in, like, modern things. But there's a movie I, like, watched a lot before that she's in, and I couldn't realize it.
Neon Demon?
No. But it's For Love of the Game. Kevin Costner.
Oh, she's the kid.
She's, like, the kid. Yeah. Like,
and I'm she was a child.
She's in another movie as a child, too, that I was like, oh, I saw that. But For Love of the Game is what I was thinking of.
It is baseball season.
Yes.
Baseball
season is upon us.
It's upon us. Yeah,
May the odds be in your team's favor.
And, again, just, I mean, because I want to talk just, like, Plutarch stuff, I like that he wrote a speech supposedly for Katniss because she's going to District 2, you know, so that's obviously very close to the
Capitol.
Yeah, you
know what? I'm getting, like, so, like, I was watching that, I'm getting so annoyed with them hitting us over the head with, like, the propaganda stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, all right, we get it. Like,
yeah, at certain points, I'm just like, I really don't like the whole thing that, like, District, like, just coin. I mean,
which is, yeah, they want you to think that, but they're really, like, hitting you over the head.
Well, that, and they're really, and then I also wrote, like, wow, they're really starting to show, like, Gale has coldness to him.
Yeah, that's something that, like, is not a slow burn, which is weird, you know? Like, Gale was, like, perfect till now.
Yeah, all of a sudden, like, in this movie, like, in the last one, like, I was just, you know, I mean, we both said, like, really him, like, it should be him over Hutcherson.
But
then this movie,
it's almost like they watched all the movies and they're like,
Oh shit! She ends up with PETA. We have to.
Yeah, we really need to make this other guy not likable because PETA's been pretty annoying.
Can I jump ahead and ask? Like, so was he kind of? Is he responsible in a way for this bomb attack?
It's like it's like asking if like the people on you know the Manhattan Project were responsible for killing all those people in Japan.
Well, that's more creating something, but they don't know that they're gonna.
I really highly doubt he planned that attack.
Uh huh.
But he invented that bomb.
It was he invented.
Remember that it was his idea. He's at the table.
Yeah.
And he's saying like, he was basically like first of all.
Oh, when he's saying like anyone that is just like helping.
Well, first he actually literally invents that bomb. But to backtrack because this is something we you kind of a little bit brought up like that coldness in him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The last movie I first started questioning like. What the hell happened between films where this random guy from that district...
From district became,
is fucking
like
one
top,
of the top generals, you know?
Yeah.
And he's, like, Katniss's age, right? So, like, he's, like, really young, and he's in, like, they trust his judgment for some reason. I mean, we must have missed a huge-ass battle that he did amazing in or something, you
I
know?
Guess. He showed initiative, like, saving people in 12?
I guess so. I'm surprised they trust, like, a guy from 12, one of their, like, crappiest districts, to be, like... But regardless.
Yeah.
So he's at that table, and he says, like, oh, we should have a bomb. Essentially, I'm paraphrasing. We should have a bomb that, like, reacts slightly at first, so then people run in to help, and then it goes off twice.
Oh, you know? I, like, totally...
So she's, like...
Went in one ear, out the other, when I was just, like, when it's just, like, around the table planning jargon.
Yeah.
I'm taking notes on the scene, like, they're sitting at a table. And
yeah, I don't think he's like, oh, let's do this, because, like, I don't think... was cold enough to know that Katniss's sister, again, jumping ahead, was going to be there. And, like, whoever dies, die. I don't think he really had that kind of mentality.
No, but he just thinks anyone that's helping the capital is an enemy.
Yeah, and I think, like, he knows, like, he doesn't want to go to bat with Katniss at that point and being like, no, you know? Because he knows the gist at this point.
I guess then it's kind of, because nothing comes from it. But then it's a convenience factor that he's... What are the guys in the white suits called? Like the
Peacekeeper.
Peacekeepers. That he kind of gets pulled away by Peacekeepers. Because then he must be, like, taken away from somewhere. Because then Katniss...
Yeah, that's why I don't think he planned that attack. Because he was there.
No, but I'm saying that's, like, a kind of, like... they had to write something. Because then if he was there and all of a sudden he saw that, I think he would have been like, we gotta run! Like,
yeah,
seeing...
Yeah, if he... Yeah, yeah.
So...
Yeah. If he even knew...
Yeah.
Like, they were going to use it there. But I think, like, what is he going to say to her, right? Is he going to be like, well, no, I didn't plan that attack. But yes, I invented that bomb. And, like, and we won in the end. So shut the fuck up, Katniss. And, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he knows, like, it was kind of a loss there.
Yeah.
But again, back to Plutarch here. Like you were saying, we don't hear much from him. We see him a lot of, like, reaction shots. My guess is that, and we know this kind of, my guess is that, he's big at the beginning, kind of like... Because he's not, like, in the field, you know?
Yeah, I don't think... Again, this is one book. So if you think of him in the last one...
Exactly.
And then this...
And he was going to have the big ending, you know?
Yeah.
In terms of big ending speech.
So just...
I don't know. I think we would have to read the books. But I'm implying that, like, he was kind of the new president that gets elected, who's, like, that random general.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you caught that, like...
It's, yeah, from District 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She, like, ends
up... I put female Barack Obama. She just had a very, like, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
no, I hear you. And she, like, to me, from, like, the letter, and we'll play it, it seems like he's kind of going to be a little bit of a puppet master.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he almost, because Coin was kind of, again... We didn't read the source material, okay? And then the source material is broken up into two movies, and then our like, this character, the actor, passes, so then we don't get him reading us, you know, or performing all of this, you know, this role for us. So what I'm saying is there almost seems, since Coin was, like, put him down a couple of times in the last one, and through the letter that he writes, he almost like knew that that's what was going to happen with Coin, but just was letting that going on, and almost again knowing that Katniss is the wild card was just like,
yeah.
So I think he was putting himself into a possible like a position of power.
I actually read this that like I was actually reading for this. I was trying to see like, did he get elected president? And then
they changed it in the thing.
No, like even in the book, apparently.
Yeah,
it goes that way.
I think he's like the hand of the king.
Yeah, he's like a behind the scenes guy for sure.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I mean, like, I guess he would never have the popular support because nobody really knows him, you know.
And also, since he was a game master and lived that like lifestyle in the capital,
I would say it's highly unlikely in this new Panem that a capital person's going to win the presidency.
He also must have... I know she... So, you know, and Coin puts together this round table of the living winners.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, they can't be all the living winners, but I guess the living winners that we've met in the movie, so they're not going to, like, introduce new people in that scene.
Living,
you know,
winners that had a part good in guys, the, yeah. though. You know, I'm sure there's, like...
Yeah, sure, that's true.
Like...
But... I feel like he, in the book, this is me totally guessing, I feel like he would have been at that meeting, too. And they probably just didn't...
Yeah. And we'll get into that meeting, too. But as you mentioned... Yeah, I mean, we're not going to really deep dive in this film, but one of the big moment is Katniss deciding... So they're doing these propos, and they're filming mm-hmm. different things, and they want to film Katniss kind of in the Capitol, but she's not, like... not having a major role.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of overrides things and says, oh, I'm on a secret mission to kill Snow. So her whole team turns into just like a Snow killing thing.
Yeah.
A lot of things here felt, believe it or not, in a long movie, rushed and forced. One of them is that whole thing like, oh, this is the 76 Hunger Games. And I know we skipped things. Like, we skipped Finnick's wedding, but like... Okay, Finnick got married, everybody.
Finnick, tragic story of Finnick.
Tragic story. So, like, did you catch this that he was a male prostitute?
No.
So, because remember I told you, like, Finnick was, like, he always gave me, like, a different vibe. And,
wait, so in real life or in the world of Hunger Games?
No, in the world of Hunger Games. Like, Snow forced him into male prostitution.
Cool.
So, like, this is, like, that was supposed to make the wedding even bigger. Like, he finally chose who can love, and he was finally...
Wow.
He couldn't marry her because he was, like, a man whore.
Oh.
But now he could. But regardless, so he marries... forgot her name. But then he's on Katniss's team. Natalie Dormer, who's filming, who's the director, but she also has a gun, you know.
Yeah, and Fulton.
Yeah, Fulton Reed. There's a bunch of, like... she has a whole team. But I think it was pretty forced that, like, he mentions this is the 76 Hunger Games. You feel free to disagree, but I feel like even the author, she knew she wasn't writing a Hunger Games book, and she feel like she had to shoehorn some of the game elements in, despite the plot growing out of that
mm-hmm.
and being more like, you know, like... This is a revolution. It's more about the war than, like, the games.
Yeah. The last episode for part one, we were like, oh, and this is now the first one that doesn't have Hunger Games. But obviously in the book, they made a point to, like, so, yeah, in the coming from
and
the
maybe
spectrum,
it's played off better in the book. I don't know.
Possibly, but it's clearly not, like, the Hunger Games. I mean, okay, so it's all about, like, making a sacrifice, showing that, you know... this violence, like, we do this. It's almost like that movie The Purge, like, for you know, there to be no violence, have one day of complete murder. This is just like, it's a sacrifice. That's what it is going back. It's like...
That's at least the idea of it, you know.
Yeah, so that's the idea. So that definitely, that aspect, and then people, like, fighting, you know, like, against one another, that's not part of this, but I guess the trap aspect is alive.
Yeah, there's game makers.
Yeah, there are game makers.
Side note here, and now that the series is concluded, the game maker, right? Are there, like, minor league Hunger Games? Because how many game makers can there be?
Yeah.
you know? There's one a year.
I guess there's, like, team. Like, this is not one person coming up with all of this.
Okay, true, yeah. Like, so...
It's like the special effects team.
So,
like,
so you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman, rather than a game maker, is really a head game maker.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like, you're right. There's probably, like, teams.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they
There's a guy that does animals. There's a guy that does...
They show it from time to time.
Until they said oil, I'm like, what the fuck is that black stuff? Well, I had no idea.
Just a little side note on the oil thing that kind of, like... They're in a major war. Anyone who studied the history of modern wars knows that the most precious thing you can have is oil. You know?
Maybe not. Maybe not in that world, though.
Yeah.
We don't know.
It seemed... they did not find an alternate fuel source, I'm pretty sure. Oil is really key. Oil is the reason, you know, that, like, the Nazis marched on Russia. Oil is, like... Like, don't waste oil on a stupid trap like that. Like, that's so dumb. it's so much resources to.
That was one of the that was that was one of the last things I was thinking about.
But like all these traps are using so much resources to just send a lot of people with guns and kill them.
Yeah, like it doesn't. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Especially when you know where she is and she's in, like, the sewers. Send, if it's so important to kill her, and there are a lot of peacekeepers there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're, like, don't have a lot of men left. Send in the people into the sewers and the subway and kill her, you know? Don't, like, wait for a freaking trap to do it.
Yeah, I mean, Snow is the ultimate, like, the bad guy that lets the person speak before, you know, like, every...
I get it when it's in the Hunger Game, because that's part of the sport.
Yeah.
You know, if the sport was just kill people.
Yeah, it's not just everyone, like, two people from every district jump in a volcano.
Yeah, like, that would
there
be...
There is a gladiators. It's a whole... It's a realm. I feel like this author was just like, okay, I'm going to make it young adult, but I want to take... You know, like, so it's like, I'm going to do a vampire movie. It's like, this will be, like, gladiators meets Mayans meets...
Ancient Rome.
Yeah.
Like...
Oh, and one other thing I see, like, as far as then, because I said young adult, like, the girl jealousy is, like, an all-time high between, like, Joanna and Katniss, like, in the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. So Joanna has a little, like, moment of, like, ah, like, yeah. I can't believe you're, like, they just wouldn't take me as, like, the hero or whatever. Like, yeah. I don't know. Well, you know, this is the movie, though, in terms of, like, you said girl jealousy. The other, like, YA thing in this is... How heavy the whole, like, I don't know which guy to choose thing here.
Oh, there's that horrible, like, talk between PETA and Gale.
Yeah.
And Gale's just, like, an alt, like, well, you know, and you think she's asleep, and that, like, oh, she's, you know, she's going to choose somebody. He's like, oh, it's totally going to be you. Like, it's just, ugh, it felt... Again, it just felt very stretched out, and they're like, we need to have, like, this was, like, they had... Like the end of the or you know, this is from the action part of the book. They're like, we can't just have like straight action the whole time. We need to find dialogue in there. So let's.
And it just wasn't the tone of the rest of them. You know, like what made the rest of them good is maybe the lack of this. At least good for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, look, they make it there. You know what's annoying too? I mean, I guess it's a different choice, but this whole movie is about her trying to kill Snow and her. Her, like, on this mission, and she just kind of, like, doesn't achieve her goal, you know? Like, they bomb the Capitol anyway.
Yeah. So, by that time, I mean, she and Gale, after they hook up with Catwoman...
Yeah. Let's do a little, like, Catwoman aside.
Sure.
So, the cat lady, Tigress is her name... She literally, if you haven't seen this film, guys, like, she literally looks like a cat. So she's, like, she was a designer for the games.
Yeah, Katniss recognizes her.
Yeah, she's, like, a famous designer, and she got banned, kind of, for a couple reasons. But one of them, at least in the book, was that she modified her body way too much. I agree. She has whiskers, you know? But then she ends up helping them, so I guess she's good, but, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, weird little... Aside.
I feel like I never really looked into it, but like I remember when this like came out, people were talking about it. I remember hearing that I think there's like multiple cat people. Like it's not just like her. I feel like there's a group of cat people.
Oh really?
Like yeah.
Okay.
we'll leave it at that. But it's weird. They just needed, again, like, a place to get away from all the peacekeepers when they get out of the sewers. And so they're like, okay, we need, like, it just felt like a, maybe it's this way in the book, maybe it's just this way in the film, but it just felt, again, like a forced little moment. And then just introducing, like, a pretty crazy character for, like, a nothing part, you know? Then all, there's a message from the Capitol saying all the citizens to come to the mansion, and so Gale and Katniss decide to dress in Capitol garb and join the refugees in walking to the
mansion. Okay, which is silly, because yes, they're in Capitol garb, but they're like the only ones that like full hoods on.
Yeah.
Like, would you trust them in a crowd?
And they like kind of turn back and forth multiple times when they see the peacekeepers looking at people. And right before they're about to be found by the peacekeepers, bombing starts happening. A couple bombs, and then gunfire, and a bunch of rebels come out of nowhere that I feel like the peacekeepers would have seen or whatever. But they come out of nowhere, start firing. Katniss and Gale are in the firefight. Gale ends up getting taken by a couple peacekeepers, and then everything stops, and the and those parachute bomb things start coming out, and people think it's, I don't know, the Capitol's giving them.
Yeah, because those are like what supplies. The gifts look like.
Yeah, well, during the Hunger Games, that's what stuff was dropped in. Like, we know that sound, that beeping sound, the parachute's coming, so you think it's going to be food, tools, whatever, like, while they have to wait to get into the Capitol. And then Katniss, I think, right, she has a look on her face and she realizes what's going to happen, and then the explosion goes off.
Yeah, and, like, her sister's there as a medic, though.
Well, that's the first part. Then she wakes up. And then she sees her sister there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's the second explosion. So she sees her sister, and Prim is...
And
Katniss also catches fire. Nope, sorry. Yeah. Well, once again, every book, I guess every movie, she also catches fire.
But that's,
like, we need the game. She needs to catch fire. Yeah. She's like, the author just has a little checklist of...
But that's exactly... That was exactly the bomb he said, like... The bomb that Gale described is literally that, and literally the reason that her sister dies, because it's a delay, you know?
Yeah. Which, I don't know how that works.
I mean, who
it's
knows?
A bomb, she set off another bomb, if they're, like, from the same thing, you know what I'm saying?
The explosion. Who knows?
But so Prim, the whole reason that, I mean, I think the rebellion would have happened, obviously, but the reason that our heroine, that of Katniss, is this whole book series is about her thrust into this, into our story, into this world. Now her sister's dead, and I feel like it was just kind of, you know, she has this her fallout then with Gale, and that kind of pushes the, like, you know, and Pete is also not totally crazy anymore. He, I'm sure, has PTSD. Well, all of them do from the Hunger Games. But anyway, I feel like Prim, like, for everything that the series started with it, and then she dies in this, it's just kind of, like washed over pretty quickly.
See, yeah, I agree that in the film it wasn't treated as well. This is something that I like where the author, though, was going with this. It's very, like... And I'm going to say Lord of the Rings influenced the author, and it also influenced this film series. The Lord of the Rings famously ends... The film ending is different than the book ending.
Yeah.
You know? And the big, like, tryst that, like, Tolkien fans have is that the book is very, like... I mean, the film is very positive in the ending.
Oh, yeah.
And,
well,
like,
just
overly glossed.
If you just want to say the one thing from, like, from Lord of the Rings, the Shire gets, like, destroyed in the books.
And it's supposed to be, like, what happens in the...
Loss of innocence.
Yeah, loss of innocence and the aftermath of war.
Yeah.
Like, what war does to people.
Yeah.
And it does... Like, Katniss's sister dying, and she was the whole reason that she became the Mockingjay, is... almost perfect if you want to say, talk about the tragedy of war. Like, the whole reason for doing this is gone anyway.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like...
Which is good for then, obviously, then also what Katniss does in the end.
Yeah. So that, to me, is pretty sound. I don't know if it was... I agree with you, like, it wasn't more... maybe it wasn't handled 100% properly.
It's just weird her she and her mom don't have a scene together, like, really, she's there. She says to her mom, like, what about Prim, and the mom has, like, I don't know. I mean, the mom didn't do much in this whole
movie. No, in the whole series, I would say.
Whatever.
But, yeah, like, I actually like where the author's going. But I'll say this. Maybe the reason Peter Jackson did that is because that doesn't necessarily translate as well.
That doesn't win you an Oscar.
Yeah, I mean, that's not blockbuster, what blockbuster films...
No, are about.
Yeah, blockbuster films don't... Oh my God, war is a real tragedy. Blockbuster films almost tie the knots together, and you're like, yeah, the sweet victory, you know? Like, and...
Yeah.
So, as... I know if I was the filmmaker, I would have made the same choice, probably, because you want to stay true to the book, and you want to tell that story and tell... I think overall, the book and the series, as silly as it is, does depict the gray area nature of war in terms of, as we see later, like, which side is really the good side. Mm-hmm. Obviously more Katniss aside,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like as cut and dry as...
No, but you can always, you see people on, there's extremes on both sides, and there's people that are just gonna repeat, you know.
Yeah, so like, I think the series does do well there, but I don't know.
It wasn't executed well in the film.
Not necessarily, and I think it was that whole thing we're discussing, that, like, young adult versus reality thing, mm-hmm. that has to teeter on both sides, because it has to appeal to the young adult audience, but also, like, be realistic when it comes to war.
Yeah.
Which is... it's a tall ask. I get why this is an amazingly popular book series, especially for young adults. I get that.
Yeah.
But... So, again...
Everyone wants to lead a rebellion in their teenage years.
So, yes. So, Julianne Moore as Coin, she assumes the presidency. And then there's that whole, right, like, round table thing we were talking about.
Yeah.
Were you surprised by Katniss's vote?
In my opinion, she made the decision of what she was going to do already, so she did that, so that was going to happen.
So, this was all part of the plan.
She then... Yeah.
I mean, you start to get a lot of inklings about Coin, really, from first, what's it, Mashar Ali's?
Yeah, Mashar Ali, like, in his death moments, I guess, so they have, Boggs has this device that's, you find, the booby traps are called pods,
mm-hmm.
so we had, like, a gun one, then we had the tar, we had fire, then we have these, the creatures, whatever the fuck they were called.
those are mutts, actually.
Those are mutts.
When you call someone a mutt, it's like an insult. Because
so what, like, are they? Again, they're like...
So I looked it up. They're supposed to be half a lizard, half human.
And they were created for just, again...
The, like, games, the, yeah. Games. That's okay. A trap.
Yeah, because what was in the first... I haven't seen the first one in a while, but I know you watched it before Catching Fire. Were there... What was, like, the animal?
They were like wolf thing.
Type
they were like
thing.
Wolf
yeah.
hybrids.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, very weird. Whatever. But...
And the bees, too, technically are a hybrid.
Yeah, the bees... And then there was... Oh, the baboons, I guess, are technically kind of hybrids, too. Whatever. But whatever.
Jacket something?
What?
No, I'm thinking of the name of the bees.
There. Oh. yeah, it's just Coin the winners, and she wants to hold the symbolic Hunger Games.
Which I would have voted hard no. I'm
yeah.
Like, what
I
the
mean,
hell?
I love that PD, and then PETA... Or BT, I'm sorry, BT and PETA, like, were like, no, and but he's so wasted in this movie or this series.
Jeffrey Wright. Yeah.
And then also, Haymitch is just like, are you serious? Like, what?
But then he ends up voting yes.
Yeah, then he says, I'll go with the Mockingjay.
Yeah, because.
But I think he can also tell that she has. That's how I was just reading it.
I'm not surprised Joanna voted yes.
Oh, no, she's just, like, scorned at this point. She wants... She and, like, Gail have, like, this kind of the same philosophy of, like, anyone that's, like, capital, you know, is evil.
Yeah. I'm not surprised... Again, I'm not surprised she voted yes. That's kind of why she... I was surprised Katniss voted yes. I think they should have been more surprised, too.
Yeah, but again, since the sister died, Coin thinks that she totally pulled a fast one on her.
Yeah, fair. And the thing about Coin, though, is, like, she's essentially, she's like, oh, I'm acting president.
But yeah, she pulls a whole Chancellor Palpatine.
Yeah, I mean, like, she's really declaring herself dictator, yeah. You know. Who knows if she's going to hold an election or not.
Yeah.
But
and everything Boggs said, oh, we couldn't continue that whole line. Boggs warns her when he gives the pod device, pod reading device. He says, Coin, you know, never liked you. Like, Coin, like, why do you think Coin allowed you here? Like, she wants, you know.
Yeah, she doesn't care if you die because your death would be more better than you living. Yeah. But they have, I think you're right when you say, like, there's a lot of things for convenience. Why is she even asking for their vote? If she really wants to do that,
you can't just go straight up dictator, I guess, but she's making it seem like there's, you know, like, oh yeah, no, you're helping the new Pan Am by being here. You know, she's just trying to create this facade of a democracy versus going full on.
But what if they would have voted no? Do you think she would have?
Then she's just, yeah, totally, like, killing all of them in their sleep or something like that. And planting a bomb and saying, you know, a capital radical killed all of them or something like that.
Yeah, you know, like, I think in the end of the day, you're going to get the same results.
Yeah.
But then we have our, like, and this is where, I don't want to call this a big finale because there's kind of like an epilogue, but it is really the finale of, this is the big thing here. So
I love it, though, like, the way, like, Katniss's dress. So they're having an execution for Snow.
Yeah, so they're going to execute Snow, and that's where they're going to announce the next Hunger Games.
Yes.
By the way, do we ever get why it's called the Hunger Games?
Nope.
It must be.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's in the books, yeah.
Yeah, but so, like you said, it's Snow's execution, and it's in that big plaza that they do all, like, the Hunger Games intros, where Katniss's dress was on fire.
Yeah, like the chariots, the very Roman.
Yeah.
More I'm thinking about this is, like, so it's Rome, it's all, like, the great old empires. Yeah. That's what it is.
So Snow, like, Katniss is a big thing, even in that round table thing, she's like, I'll vote yes. Oh, this is where I kind of believe it, actually. She's like, I'll vote yes, but I get to kill Snow.
Yeah.
You know? So then if I'm Coin, I would be like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's why she's doing it.
Yeah.
So Snow's on that little pole thing. Katniss comes out with her bow and arrow.
And, like, her full black garb. Of,
yeah.
You know.
Coin's, like, announcing it. And this is where we see possibly CGI, but not really Hoffman.
Yeah.
Have a no reaction kind of thing. And, yeah.
She shoots Coin through the heart.
Instead of
Snow.
And Snow just, like, laughs.
Yeah, he loves it because he just. But then a bunch of people run at. I think they're going to, like, run and, like, someone's. Like, they're going to grab Katniss, but they just run and almost pretty much, like, punch/rip apart Snow.
Yeah, which. That's good death for him anyway.
Oh, no, that's awesome. That's why I love this scene. And then Katniss is then taken away and she's being held, and you think, like, what's going to happen to her? And then all of a sudden Haymitch comes into the room.
Yeah, she's held in, like, prison.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, a scary prison, you know? It's just, like...
She's in holding.
Yeah. Because, you know, they're not sure what to do with her. But my guess is that, especially, and this probably hinted more in the book, that people were kind of, like, fed up with Coin too, as well. Like, they would have killed her instantly if Coin was, like, this.
Well, again, I think Plutarch saw exactly what was going on.
And yeah, we kind of see in that letter too that he kind of did.
So we're at it. We've said it. I feel like in other episodes, but in this one as well, this was supposed to be, like, the big last scene between our main man Philip Seymour Hoffman and Jennifer Lawrence, but it had to be given to. Woody Harrelson, which, I mean, it plays okay, but we'll play the scene for you, and we'll talk a little bit more about it.
I'll read it for you. Katniss, maybe the country was shocked tonight by your arrow, but once again, I was not. You were exactly who I believed you were. I wish I could give you a proper goodbye, but with both Coin and Snow dead, the fate of the country will be decided tonight, and I can't be seen at your side. Tonight, the 12 district leaders will call for a free election. There's little doubt that Palo would carry. She's become the voice of reason. I'm sorry so much burden fell on you. I know you'll never escape it. But if I had to put you through it again for this outcome, I would. The war's over. We'll enter that sweet period where everyone agrees not to repeat the recent horrors. Of course, we're fickle, stupid beings with poor memories and a great gift for self-destruction. Although, who knows? Maybe this time we'll learn. I've secured you a ride out of the capital. It's better for you to be out of sight. And when the time is right, Commander Paler will pardon you. The country will find its peace. I hope you can find yours.
It suffices. It works.
It works. Okay, so...
And also they throw the line... Obviously, this doesn't exist because it wasn't a letter and it's him talking, but it works because they throw in that little line of he wants to stay away, you know, Plutarch wants to stay away from the mess, not to get, like, you know, like, pulled into it, you know, with the public eye and stuff like that. Like, he's going to let her go away, and then eventually, and I forget, I'll just call her female Barack Obama, we'll give her a pardon in a while.
So I'll say this. I think they handled it well, because I agree. I don't necessarily like that CGI stuff so much. I wasn't even a big fan of, like, the Rogue One Tarkin CGI stuff. I prefer, like, them just... Not for this one. If we wanted a Tarkin thing, I would have preferred they hired a guy who looked like him. Like, that's enough for me. I don't really need people to look exactly like them. I get that it's not real, you know? Mm-hmm. I didn't want them to hire, like... And I didn't think Tarkin looked that great in that film, but whatever. That's on another podcast. But I don't, you know, I didn't want, like, a phony Philip Seymour Hoffman delivering lines mm-hmm. from, like, a look-alike voice, you know? I didn't really want... Like, the Paul Walker stuff is a little sloppy in that film, but whatever.
Yeah.
I'm glad they handled it this way. It's the way I would have gone. But to me, it still would have been better if it was Philip Seymour Hoffman delivering these lines.
Oh, of course. I mean, it would have been better, and I just want it. I just want another scene.
Like, you know, we want that, yeah. But I think it, like, it would have bookended better, like... who this guy actually was and what his end game was.
Yeah.
Because it didn't seem like... If we didn't know Philip Seymour Hoffman died, how would you process that whole thing? I know it's a hard question, but, like, I kind of would be like, what was his purpose, you know?
Wait, if he was
if
there...
If you had no idea Philip Seymour Hoffman died... Like, if you're just watching this movie with, like, blind eyes, you know?
Oh, okay. Like, so yeah, okay. So in this world, Haymitch reads a letter.
Yeah.
Like, that's what existed. Yeah, you'd be like, oh. Yeah, you'd be like, that... It feels like they've been building up this character.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so, well, no. And this is going to be the... Big one, the next biggest example of that is what we're going to experience with episode 9 with Carrie Fisher. It's been like building, you know.
Yeah, and incredibly.
Yeah.
Incredibly, you know, in the last one that like building to how important she is. And then, we'll see. We don't know how to handle that. But they did the best with what they had and what they could.
Yeah.
You know. And
it plays.
Yeah, that's plays. What
it plays.
And you hear from that line, like, he definitely, like, maybe he didn't know what Katniss was doing. Maybe he was planning to assassinate Coyne in some kind of way. Mm. But you can tell even in their dialogue, and unfortunately we don't have so many clips of that, but when he's talking to Coyne, you could tell that he doesn't also 100% trust her. They have disagreements.
Yeah, and like, again, I think she talks down to him. You know,
a lot, yeah.
A lot in the last film we see. So, yeah, I mean... After that, we were just really... Oh, well, we praise her so much in the last film, but Effie is not, like, used or seen at all.
Whereas Joanna was not in the last film, Effie's not so much in this film.
Yeah.
She... I thought, like, the no-makeup thing and, like, making the most of it was,
that's
like,
really
cool.
Interesting, and then also in this film, she's, like...
And she's, like, back in the habit, you know?
Like, she's not as, like, exuberant in her vocal...
No, she's a little toned down, but she's, like... Like, she's back to, like, almost, she's, like, 90% Effie.
But we get the, what was it called again? Shipping?
Shipping.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
That was not scripted, and Woody Harrelson and Elizabeth Banks.
Oh, really? So they, like, shipped themselves.
They shipped themselves, yeah. They're like, we need a little bit of a pay, like, they were like, they read the script and went, like, all right. Like, it feels like nothing, you know.
I'm glad. I'm glad. And it's not like implies, like, oh, we've been dating all along. It implies, like, maybe.
Just seems like, yeah, they're banging a little bit.
Maybe, you know, maybe bunker banging together now. You know?
District, the classic District 13 bunker bang.
I hope that they do end up getting together. That's something that, yeah, I would like to see. I think they make each other better people. But Effie, who, again, was one of my favorite characters, and she's still one of my favorite characters in the series, a little disappointed on her.
And again, like, if this was condensed into, like, a 3-hour movie, it wouldn't have felt as, like, as bad, because in a sitting we would
have... Yeah, yeah, in the same sitting you would have had the great Effie moments from the last one, and then this one, not, like, incomplete. Like, the last two are incomplete. So... Rotten Tomatoes. Last time it was 67% critics, 71% audience. Worst in the series. But this one is, like, close. It's almost the opposite. You get 70% critics, 66% audience.
And this is definitely a movie much more for the audiences, so that's, you know, interesting in that aspect.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know, kind
people
of.
People were upset that Prim got killed. And Finnick.
Oh, yeah,
We glossed, I said, a tragic story of Finnick, but we finally got to see him, like, using his fucking trident, which isn't really a triton.
It's just like
weird.
A spear.
Yeah, a spear that, like, yeah, whatever. And then
I think a gun would have probably been better.
Well, that's, okay. So, I mean, I'm not going to go on a crazy tangent, but I'm going to speak my mind right now. In any of these movies, let's go with the Avengers, okay? In the first, like, Captain America, we see him, like, he has, like, a Tommy gun or, like, a, you know, machine gun during World War II, and we're seeing, like, the montage footage of, like, the little battles of Captain America winning in Germany. He's got a shield and a gun. And then in one moment in the Avengers, he picks up a gun to shoot, like, a Hydra, like, or whatever they were, coming onto the, like, floating craft or whatever. But it's just, you're just gonna use a shield the whole time? Like, you got super strength, but you got a shield, but, like, have a gun too. Or Black Widow, like, so she's got these, like, taser things that's good for close quarter, but then she just has, I understand, like, it's smaller, but still, like, she just has, like, a 15-round, like, handgun, you know? Or, in the end of the day, like, if you're that good of a sharpshooter with a bow, I'm sure you're gonna be freaking amazing with a gun.
We try not to get political on this show. But in terms of, like, coolness, and I'm using this, like, lightly.
Yeah.
Guns kind of ruin the coolness of hand-to-hand combat. In films, at least.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's why medieval stuff is still pretty cool, because when they fight, it's, like, epic and dramatic. Like, an M16 at somebody is not...
Yeah, you're talking to a... I mean, I'm not, like, I'm not gonna get into, like, my exact stance on guns, but when it comes to hunting, I'm not, like, necessarily against it, but I'm, like, bow hunting, spear hunting, like, that's much more hunting to me. Than, like, a gun. But anyway,
But sniper stuff is, like, more interesting, I guess, than just, like, all that, like... And this is pretty good battles, this series, and pretty good, like, gun battles. But when it talks about hand-to-hand stuff, that's just more exciting to see on film.
And that's why, to
like,
me,
knives still, and shit.
Maybe the coolest film of all time of, like, realistic, of, like, the breakdown of, like, weapons and stuff like that is The Raid Redemption, where it's a SWAT team that starts out with guns. When they run out of guns, it's just like, okay, let's, like, use, like, our knives or our batons or whatever, and then it just gets to hand-to-hand at the end. Like, it's just a very good, you know, that's realistic cool. breakdown.
Yeah.
Instead of, we're not going to the 80 movies where you never see Schwarzenegger or Stallone reload their gun ever.
And that's why in the Hunger Games, like the actual games itself, some of those weapons make sense because ammo and stuff like that. Are there even guns?
Well, no, they don't even give them. Yeah,
but they have like they have like certain things, right? Like it's limited there, you know. Like Finnick can get any weapon he wants.
I guess technically
now.
The bow is one of the better weapons to have.
Yeah,
yeah.
But Finnick can get any weapon he wants in this army, and like, oh, let's give him a trident. Yeah. I mean, it's cool, like ceremonial. If he had a gun, did he have a gun? I don't think he even has a gun, right? If he had that, like, in his pack,
yeah,
for like if somebody gets close. But he also
Have each, like, again, step of, like, distance kind of weapon.
Regardless.
Have a rifle on you, a handgun, a sawed-off shotgun, a knife, a fucking baton, whatever, you know.
So, yes.
So, rest in peace, Finnick. Yeah, you got married, you got laid by a ginger, probably, and then, you know.
I hope before he left.
You were a man whore. And,
pretty good life.
And then Finnick. He died in the sewers because of those, what are they called again, mutts?
Yeah, mutts.
Mutts it was ripped them apart.
Yeah. Lizard human hybrid.
Yeah. All right.
So, okay, I'm going to ask some questions then for you. Do you, okay, what did you think of the series overall?
Entertaining. I'm going to keep it really simple with saying entertaining. It's coming from a young adult series, so that being said, you know, we said it with Kara, we were saying other movies, you know, Battle Royale and, like, you know, stuff like that. There's if you're an adult and you want to see a movie that's kind of about at least what the first two books are about, like, there's better ones, but I guess it ends up being an interesting enough rebellion story, and I do like the little the both sides have bad guys thing at the end, and Katniss's decision, and then her quietly sitting with Peeta and her children at the end. So,
oh yeah, I guess we didn't go through that. She does end up with Peeta.
Yeah,
they have like kids in a meadow. You know?
And they have that annoying thing throughout this movie, real or not real, like to bring that's very. It feels like again like a teenage like game, but it's like him he's been brainwashed and he's like real or not real, and so and he's like you love me, real or not real, because then they're just staying in the mansion in District 12. That's kind of you know.
Yeah, they both go back to District 12. We mentioned that, what's his name, Gale gets like a job in District 2. Like,
yeah, everything's fine, yeah.
Running something, and like, yeah. Oh, resolution, she really didn't have to choose. She kind of forced to choose Peeta, you know, because he went back home, and he's there, and whatever, he's back to normal, and they have interesting little post-life, and I don't know, I'll be honest. I find it a little weird that they end with like motherhood when she's like a strong female. Not that strong female characters and people can have kids. That's not what I'm saying. It's just it ends so soft.
It's soft, but it's haunting in a way. I haven't seen the movie Mother, but I'm like, is this a prequel to Mother? Like, it's just, she's just sitting there, and she's like, do you have, like, she's talking weird to her baby, and she's like, I'll tell you what my nightmares are about. Like,
yeah.
It's it is haunting.
It's haunting, but, like, I don't know if it's supposed to be, if that makes sense. Like, she's broken forever. It's weird because it's juxtaposed. Maybe that makes it good. It's juxtaposed by, like, a beautiful meadow and, like, peace.
We'll just put this up. We weren't even going to, like, talk about it. To me, the ending of the movie is just, like, you know, that she kills Coin and then that. Like, that to me is, like, in my head, like, that's the...
Yeah, the rest is, like, just an epilogue.
Yeah.
So, fair. How I feel about the series is surprised me. I thought it was going to be worse, to be honest with you. I did enjoy it. I didn't enjoy the ending so much. My favorite moments, besides like the Hoffman stuff, is actually in the Hunger Games, the games itself. So the ending not having an actual game was disappointing, but I get it, because where were you going to go? We're just going to do endless games, you know? So I get it, because you have to do a trilogy and stuff, but whatever. So my next question, I guess, is we're in agreement that it would have been much better, obviously, if Hoffman survived and finished his role. But despite being incomplete, now that we've seen the whole series, what do you think he brought to the series? And what do you think, like, I guess we went over this a little bit, like, drew him to this, I guess is what I'm asking.
I mean, what he brought to it was just that, that presence and that authority, and then like once you know what his character is about, you believe him, maybe not trust him just because it is like deceit in this series, but he's believable, and so he brings expertise to a young adult transferred into blockbuster movie series. As far as what drew him in, I don't know exactly. I think he was offered something, and as we learned from Amos, he really didn't necessarily turn things down, and he looked at it as like another acting opportunity. And I do feel like, I mean, that character, I mean, this is going from what I've seen from a book being translated into a film. I feel like still much more could have been done with that character. Like, he was built up in the second one, and then he kind of falls to the background in, like, the next...
Yeah, but
in the last two.
Possibly would have not felt that way if he was able to complete his work.
Yeah, I think it's still...
Because there wasn't a scene not filmed for the first part one, too. I don't know if you know that.
Oh.
But they had to cut one of his scenes from there, because he didn't... Because they were filming it back-to-back.
Yeah.
And supposedly they were going to film those two last,
mm-hmm,
for some reason.
Yeah, I think I still would have felt the same. I feel like they're just, it's kind of, and I feel that, and I say that because I feel that way for a lot of the other characters in the series as well.
That's fair. I think, again, if they do one movie at the end, we feel differently, especially,
yeah,
like Effie is a good example, as you said. I think the word, and I've used this before, but I think the word is presence. Like, he brings, like, a presence to the series that...
Yeah.
That I don't You're
even
think
Donald Sutherland
does.
Just watching him and, like, and that's also... and that's why, again, like, when I thought it was CGI, he has his presence. And so the fact that it isn't him acting and responding to that scene the way he would have,
mm-hmm,
you know, in standing there and, like, his face just, you know... picture is 1,000 words, his face, you know.
Yeah, we can honestly say that... Now that we've seen all his films, he's not a guy that ever melded in. He's not a guy that it ever seemed like he didn't want to be there, even when clearly he's suffering.
Yeah.
He's, you know, suffering from his drug thing here. It doesn't feel like it in his scenes.
No, he was either, like, if I was going to say anything negative, then it's not because of him. It's either that he's, like, misused or misdirected.
Yeah. But
in that spectrum.
I agree with what you're saying. That little... clip, even though it was like 2 seconds, looked weird.
Yeah,
because we're so used to him being present in the moment, and he didn't feel present there because he really...
Yeah, because he wasn't he was not present.
Yeah. So this is kind of a difficult question, but how do you feel that this is his final film?
It's kind of, you know, I don't obviously never wanted anything bad to happen to him, or I mean, even okay, like, look at plenty of... It's better than what, you know, you could argue for, like, someone like... I guess Robert De Niro's kind of coming back a little bit, but, like, Pacino, or even Christopher Walken, because he just kind of takes a little bit of everything. Like, so, you know, it's tragic that he passed away at, I think he was 44, 45. So that's sad. And then this is his last work versus, again, just, I mean...
Yeah, that's more
a masterpiece of the master. But, so, just the fact that this is what he ends on, this isn't as bad as, like, then what, again, some of these other great actors have kind of done in their later senior years. So, yeah, it's more... It's obviously just more... When you just think of that, then you just... I have selfish thoughts to, again, go back to, like, Star Wars... Or even Heath Ledger, like, I'm just like, you know, it's sad, and you're like, what a great performance, you know, by Heath for the Joker, you know.
But see, that's not even technically his last release, because it's that...
No, but I'm thinking what would have happened with the series. Like,
okay.
And then, obviously, then Carrie Fisher going into episode 9, and so, like, you're like, oh, fuck, that's sad, that sucks. And then you're just like, oh, fuck, you, like, are lacking, you're taking away from my entertainment as well. Like, you have those selfish thoughts.
It's selfish,
yeah.
But it's true. We do think that, you know, as movie watchers, like, almost, like, Carrie Fisher's a great example. When Carrie Fisher died, you and I weren't like, oh, what a great career. I mean, yeah, you know.
I have seen less films because Philip Seymour Hoffman has passed away. I would have seen if he
oh
came,
yeah, yeah
if he
for sure
let's say he did only even one movie each year since him passing, there's you know, four more movies I would have seen
for sure. So just to tie a bow on this part, I think they handled it well, you know.
Yeah.
We
know his castmates loved him and had nothing.
Yeah, and I think next week we'll play some clips from that.
Yeah.
Speaking of next week, this is, I guess, the best time to kind of go over what the schedule for the rest of the podcast is going to be.
Yes.
You know, like, how we're going to bring this home, really. How we're going to honor, or try to at least, honor Philip Seymour Hoffman's legacy as we bring the podcast to a close. So next week, as we're alluding to, we're going to have one of those it's going to be an Act 3 recap. We've done an Act 2 recap and Act 1 recap.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, if you want to remind the audience how we do these acts and stuff.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be a little different. We're not going to have as many. In the past, we've had guests come back and say a little something. I think we'll definitely have our friends, Cage Club co-creators, Mike Manzi and Joe and Louie Wendowski on to share a few words. This is the end of the podcast that we'll, you know, working with them in the meantime. But, you know, we're going to talk about some other small things. Like, he was on an episode of Arthur.
The Aardvark, yeah.
The Aardvark. And it's like, I even forget his name, but it's funny, they kind of drew.
Yeah, he's like a parody of himself.
Yeah.
Like we mentioned, it's going to be kind of a little retrospective and also like a looking forward to what could have been.
Yeah.
So that'll be next Wednesday, a week mm-hmm. from today, or whenever you're listening to this, I suppose. The week after that, and we'll let you know next week for sure, we might have an episode, we might not. It's depending. It might be a clip episode. We're still kind of concocting what that week will be.
Yes.
But the big news is for the final week.
Yes.
The final episode. So get a paper and pen out, write this down, or go on our Facebook and see it. But
yes, so we've been alluding to it, and
a lot of hard work.
And on Saturday, April 21st, it's called
Gold Sounds.
Gold Sounds in Bushwick,
Brooklyn,
New York City. We're having a live event.
Yeah, so Hoff fans out there in the New York area, or if you want to fly here, but I doubt that,
yeah.
The New York area, we are going to do our first ever live episode. The episode won't air live. We're just recording it live.
Yeah, in front of live audience.
A live audience. And it'll be not just the end, but it'll be our Hoffy Awards, our Philip Seymour Hoffman Awards for the podcast.
Yeah, we got some of the other fun categories.
Some of the other Cage Club podcasts have done award shows. We decided, and we're going to bring it back a lot of guests who've been on the show. We're going to talk Philip Seymour Hoffman's legacy. We're going to talk his whole career, favorite moments and stuff. But we're also going to give out some awards for some fun and interesting things. But once again, that's April 21st. The episode will air the following Wednesday. But
yeah, the 25th. So the rest of the month, we've got now on the 4th, this episode, you're listening to it, is aired today. And then we're going to have our Act 3 recap on the 11th. The 18th is up in the air. As Brian said, might be just a clip episode for favorite moments, but then Saturday the 21st will be the live event, and then we're gonna, you know, obviously put that together and release it on iTunes or however you're listening to this on Wednesday, April 25th.
Yeah, so just want to say this again, April 21st. It's a Saturday, Gold Sounds in Bushwick, Brooklyn, from 2 o'clock?
Yeah, 2 p.m.
2 to 5.
To 5.
2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Nice little day drinking. They have a bar, of course.
Yes, it's a bar, and then there's a backstage room where we've seen some live music, an accordion player.
Yes, so just go all the way to the back.
Yeah.
We'll be there. You can meet us in the flesh. You could, I mean, if you really want to.
I'll wear a Hawaiian shirt.
Good to know. I haven't revealed my wardrobe choice yet because I haven't thought about that.
I just decided right then.
So you get to see us, you get to meet us, you get to interact with other Hoff fans, you'll get to share in his legacy, and hear us do a live show.
Yeah, and curse me off in person.
Yeah, if you want to punch us in the face in person, we'll let you do that on air.
Yeah.
You know,
Kyle
will
a visual
get
gag
in the face.
On audibly recorded.
Not me. So, as far as the awards go, we definitely want you guys to vote because, you know, we want our Hoff fans' opinion here.
Yeah.
So, we're going to be posting it on our Facebook. If you don't have Facebook, get in contact with us somehow,
mm-hmm.
and we'll send you a ballot. And we'll be giving the awards out. I'm not going to get into categories now because we'll do a little bit more in depth on the awards next week or even that other week. We'll be talking about the awards for the next couple weeks, it's fair to say.
Yeah, and then we're going to read the winners of the categories at the live event, so then obviously you'll hear that on the episode when we release it, the next ones.
Yeah, so the awards are going to be, and in no particular order, we have best catchphrase, best film moment, best freak out, that's a fun one. Some other ones here, I'm not going to mention all of them, but best female co-star, best male co-star, best collaborator, that's like a director thing. We got a bunch of stuff here. Favorite lead performance, best or favorite Hoffman film. So we have a bunch of categories. We want you to vote. Vote often. We don't care if you vote multiple times.
Yeah, I think we've selected, minimum 4 or 5 for like each of them. Some have a few more. I think one of them has like 10.
Yeah.
But,
we are fans of democracy.
Yeah,
here.
Through democracy, through it with our new Pen M.
Yes. In the spirit of the new Pen M. Yeah.
And everyone that comes to this live event, we will have you battle one another.
So. Yes, it'll actually be Hunger Games, Bushwick, Brooklyn style. Which would be interesting. Hipsters battling each other.
It's just a lot of like slapping and.
but vote often, vote early, vote late, vote all the time. And you'll be hearing our voices pressuring you to vote for the next couple of weeks. That's fair.
Yeah, make a decision, Gail or PETA.
So one last time, let's tell them about the live event. April 21st, Saturday,
2 p.m. Gold Sounds, just Google it. But we're going to have this. Again, go on Facebook. Maybe we'll ask them on Cage Club. Go on cageclub.me and you'll see in the bio, we'll put like the exact like address in the episode bios for the next like 3 weeks.
Yeah, we want to meet you. We want to see you out there. Yeah. We want the Hoff fans' presence to be recognized. Don't necessarily do it for us or this show. Do it for Phil.
Do it for Phil. And stay on cool.
Thanks, guys.
Where did you come from, baby? How did you know I needed you? How did you know I needed you so badly? How did you know I'd give my heart gladly? Yesterday, I was one of the lonely people. Now you're lying close to me, making love to me. Sex a thing, you. I believe in miracles. Since you came along.